Dear Shooter, remember the Uvalde school shooting back in 2022? It seems so far for most of us, but I'm sure it feels like yesterday to some others. 2 years later, the former police chief Pete Arredondo and a former police officer Adrian Gonzalez now face felony charges of abandoning or endangering a child. Does this sound like a rerun to anybody else? Like the Scott Peterson case in 2018? Will there even be different results? The Supreme Court has ruled that police do have a general duty to protect a community, but not an individual. Today we chat, argue, and simply just throw things while discussing what we believe law enforcement duties in this matter should have been, and whether or not we believe this will be a rerun, or will things really change?
It's not about protecting the stupid, it's just, it is what it is.
I don't know if you know this, but I'm a self-identifying llama. And it's because I have a quick temper and I like to spit.
You are not safe and you are not sacred and you're both liars.
We're talking about firearms, y'all.
Keep it clean.
I can hide one under there.
One what? I don't want to know.
I look like I got ran over by a paint truck on the way to Sherwin-Williams and then backed over by the short bus.
You know, let's talk about the modern trends in transsexual transitions.
Welcome to the Dear Shooter podcast. Dear Shooter is brought to you by WyoTac, empowerment through self-reliance, and by Lucid Optics, on target, under budget.
Well, happy Thursday, and Jesus, Jefe Rojo. That's a lot to chew on.
Well, I got to keep you guys busy for 45 minutes.
45?
You actually almost talked in cursive there.
I did. I spent all day trying.
I'm impressed with you right now.
So, Uvalde. So, from what I understand, they actually indicted the he was the school district police chief, Pete Arredondo, for essentially, it was what, that he abandoned these kids?
Child endangerment was the charge that I heard.
It's the charge, but as the story, he did not go in, apparently. But I also read that he wasn't first on scene either. I don't know.
Is the police chief ever first on scene?
They said the highway patrol was on scene first in one story. It's just really hard to muddle through.
Interesting.
Well, I remember that whole case was a mess, and it was what, 77 minutes before they actually went and went face to face with the gunman.
Well, and this is we talked about this in policy as a general several times, but the police have to get there. They have to set up a perimeter, make sure that, you know, they can contain and secure the scene before they'll actually do anything actionable.
No, and I understand those policies, but I think when it comes to the safety of kids, something's got to change.
I agree with you. Well, then the medics came and go in until the police have secured the scene.
Right, which is something that I harp on a lot.
So, I don't know. There's a lot of moving parts in what we're talking about here. And I wouldn't be a fool if I tried to claim that I knew many of the details very well enough to speak to it. But on its face, this thing was a horrific tragedy. And it was compounded by bad policy.
Agreed. Well, let's unpack it, starting with the actual indictment. I think this is the first case that I can remember that forget chief, just officer has been indicted for failing to protect a citizen.
Now, what is Scott Peterson, what was he exactly?
So he was the first on scene it was the Florida shooting. Mm-hmm. There's video of him standing outside that he wouldn't go in and engage the gunman.
And they're claiming, from what I read today, that Mr. Arredondo did the same.
Yes, but I think it is more egregious with Arredondo, and the reason is because he was the school district police chief. He was the man in charge and telling his people to stand down and not go in. I think it was Border Patrol that finally said, no, screw you, we have kids in that school, we're going in.
Yeah, they disregarded all instructions from law enforcement and went in. And they actually got some heat for that right after the fact.
They did. They did from law enforcement, correct, not from the parents. And I think that's where I think we need to look at some policy changes.
What about the Supreme Court saying that it is their general duty to protect a community but not an individual? What's that mean in this circumstance? Well, is that not a community of children?
How do you draw the line? Because a community is made up of individuals. If you're going to protect the community, you have to protect, serve, and keep the peace with the individuals. I don't know how you go about doing that job any other way.
Well, and the way that's worded and the way that came out, that was the Warren versus District of Columbia case. And what that was about is that the police do not have a general duty to protect individual people. They have the duty to protect the general public, but it's not the police's responsibility to protect you personally.
So if I'm a member of that community, because I'm an individual, he doesn't have any job to do his job.
And you can't tell me that there was only one child in that school. There was more than one. There's a community inside
in
that building.
Agreed.
And that's
it
where
wasn't
you,
one person.
Right, and that's where you muddy the waters. Now, I understand what the Supreme Court was saying. Like, we're not gonna expend all of these police resources to protect one particular person.
So they're not personal bodyguards. Got it.
Right.
But this is
that's
not
what,
the case.
No, this is not the case. And that's where I say that this doesn't apply.
It does not apply. And I understand about available resources to protect and serve an individual. I get that completely. But if I'm a member of your community, it is your goddamn job.
Agreed. I totally agree. And especially in a lot of these communities, now, Uvalde, I don't think, was one, but schools in particular, where teachers are not allowed to carry firearms, you might have a resource officer there, but it's not like there's a big defense for something like this happening.
No, we actually advertise that the school is an unarmed facility and
right,
basically ripe for the picking.
Well, exactly. And that's kind of where I'm going with this. Like, I think the police do have a duty to spend more resources if they are going to intentionally unarm a place.
Well, you can't have it both ways. Back in the day, and I worked at a publishing firm, and the new HR directives came out, and you couldn't have a firearm in your vehicle. So, all right, I'm an hour and a half from the facility. My drive across town takes me all the way through a big populated metropolitan area. While it is their right to tell you, you can't have your firearm on their property. It's their property. I totally get it. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But that, as an employer, puts them as responsible for me and my safety to and from.
That's right.
Because they've stripped me of my Second Amendment right for the day.
Yeah, because you have to leave it at home.
Correct.
So, and what happens if something happens between work?
Correct.
Or between work and home?
You end up at a shopping mall at a company lunch,
mm-hmm,
right? If that happens, they have become responsible. Same thing at the schools, in my opinion.
And the problem with that is that nobody has been found liable. Nobody has been held culpable. Exactly. And I think that needs to happen because that's where a lot of the government push to disarm the populace, because they can't get it through law. They're doing it through regulation, through these businesses and these big corporations that are willing to do it for them.
You start holding school boards and school administrators personally responsible,
mm-hmm,
for the ramifications of their policies,
right,
you'll see a change.
I think you will. And I think this is a good first step.
This is a different step, though. They're going after law enforcement for dereliction of duty.
Well, yes, but this is specific Uvalde School District Police Chief.
Sure.
So my understanding is this isn't like the Uvalde Police. This is the school district resource officers.
Right. I don't care if he's a crossing guard. He works for the city.
He works for that school, in which is his community.
Right.
Right. So they're going after him for not doing his job. Now they're going to have to redefine his job. That's coming.
Right.
Make no mistake about it. And they're going to tear apart the previous policies to find out whether he was vindicated to do what he did or he had a moral obligation that went far above and beyond written policy.
I would say moral, because even moral, you or I would go into that school to try to help those children. Mm-hmm. And we're not law enforcement. But we're also not protected by all these laws that law enforcement has little protections over their heads.
But I don't have to be a fireman to go into a burning building to pull a kid out. It's the right thing to do, whether you're wearing a badge or not. To stand outside because, well, I don't want to go in, that's just a shithead thing to do.
Agreed. And let me throw a little devil's advocate at you here. Since 2020, we have seen the absolute dismantling, disgracing, the all of the blame for all of the bad that happens in the country put on police. And the communities, their municipalities, their counties, whatever it may be, are not standing behind them. So I can see some hesitation. Now, not necessarily in this case, but I can see where an officer, a chief of police, might hesitate to act because he feels like he's put into a position that no matter what he does, he's wrong.
Correct. And I can understand that completely. However, this case is going to come right down to policy. This case is going to be made out to be about this one officer and whether he acted within the accordance of the policies he's been directed to have. And if he did, then the case will shift to the municipality police department.
Correct.
And they'll hang them both because they had kids die and they want their slice.
Oh, absolutely.
But to your point, we have demonized police in this country. And I will tell you, some law enforcement officers earned it. But it was their actions and their reputations that brought that upon themselves. So, it's that old analogy of that one bad apple ruins the barrel. And that's where we're at.
And while I don't argue that, I think if you look at a lot of these cases, and we look back at 2020, what started all that? When you go back and actually look at the case and what came out after, yeah, the officer acted like an asshole, but he wasn't the cause of the death of St. George Floyd. And to put that on the officer when it came out that, look, it was drugs. It was the way the guy lived. He was already on his deathbed when he was being arrested. But yet, he still went to jail.
Well, he acted outside of policy. And the police department hung it in his ass and let him take the fall.
Well, it was all four of them, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I get it. You know, no matter from a police officer's perspective, no matter what you do, you're going to be wrong in somebody's eyes.
Well, what if it would have been, say he's not armed, not with a firearm. He's in there just wailing on teachers and beating students and all of that. The police department would go in then because there's no guns.
There's definitely a fear factor implication here. You're right.
There's a fear factor, but how many of those officers had kids in those classrooms?
Couldn't answer that. I would assume there's a couple,
at least, and like I said, it was a couple actually Border Patrol agents that finally said no, we're not listening to you and went in. Does that speak to the moral compass of what we're dealing with officers today?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, if you look at a generation ago, officers were tougher. I mean, they were...
This wouldn't have been a question.
No.
But, you know, the Scott Peterson case was in 2018. He got acquitted.
But you're still... I mean, we're still talking generational. I'm talking, like, early 2000s here. It wouldn't have been a question.
Yeah, in the 90s, a cop wouldn't have stood outside.
No.
And I will tell you, in the 90s, we had things like this that happened, but you didn't get the media attention out of it either.
No.
So the bad guys are looking for their little 15 minutes of fame.
Well, Columbine was what, 95, 96?
Yeah.
You know, so this stuff did happen. Now, I know when Columbine came out, I think it was, you got that normalcy bias. It was so far out of what police, law enforcement were used to dealing with, they didn't know what to do.
Well, they just went through the wake of the L.A. shootings.
Right.
And the police realized real fast that the criminal element had them outmatched. They had been outmaneuvered and way over-equipped. So they're reacting to a new world. You also watch the politics of the day. This is the height of some of the wide world war on terror and drugs starting mm-hmm. to ramp up.
Yep.
And whether we want to admit it or not, some of that stuff hit our shores domestically in the trafficking of drugs and people.
Oh, it absolutely did.
So the criminal element outpaced our law enforcement real quick, and the overreaction to that was, let's militarize our law enforcement that does a police civilian job.
Well, and that was right about the time that they changed their name from peace officer to law enforcement officer. And I think there was a big mental shift that happened.
There was, and that's where I'm headed now. You saw an ego and a mental shift of, I've got level 4 body armor now. I've got an AR in the car, a pistol on my hip, and I can call in a tank if I want one in a minute's notice just because I wear a badge.
Right.
That breeds a completely different animal for a civilian populace law enforcement guy instead of a peace officer.
But at the same time,
which fed the ill behavior that you're talking about that got the inner city all up in arms because it got abused.
It did get abused. But, okay, let's go back to that attitude for a second. I've got level 4 body armor. I've got an AR-15 in my trunk. I can call a freaking tank if I need to at a moment's notice. Why am I standing outside of the door from one cracked out kid that's trying to shoot my children?
You wouldn't be. But I will also tell you, you're not walking down the reservation strutting like a peacock because you have all this stuff either.
No.
Trading favors for whatever. No. You're not doing that.
No.
You're a man of morals.
But
those words tasted horrible. But, I mean, that's the point. And then the folks that wanted the job, they wanted it why?
They want the power.
Ah. That's the wrong reason to do the job.
Right. It's no different than a politician. And I think, how would you try to initiate that mental shift of, I'm on a power trip to, I'm a public servant? Because we need to get back to that in not just law enforcement, but politics and everything.
The same way you take a felon and reintroduce him into society. It's called community action, civic duty. You donate your time. You get involved. You get seen as not the tough guy, bad guy, but you get seen as the guy that the kids can come up and talk to.
Right.
That public relations engine has been lost.
Oh, it absolutely has. Look at the damn cars.
Correct.
That makes me nuts. When all of the lettering and everything on police vehicles now is subdued, there's not a big light rack on there no more.
Tired of being spotted.
Well,
why are you hiding?
Yeah, exactly. Why are you hiding? If you look at police vehicles in Europe, they are easy to spot. They are brightly colored. They are reflective. They are here. I am here to help.
But you're touching at the big heart of the issue of what we're talking about. There is a culture shift on the ideology, the mentality, and the policies of our law enforcement officers in this country today versus what they were 25 years ago.
Agreed.
Right? That ideology shift. And when it came out that they had no responsibility to protect the individual, a lot of them took that to heart.
Right.
When the public was screaming, let's defund the police, that gutted the morale of a good cop.
Oh, it absolutely did. I mean, the attrition rate for police right now is just astounding.
Right. And so with that culture and that mindset change, this guy stood out the door. I'm not surprised. But it hurts my heart to think that a guy that does that job would.
Right.
And that's what I think he's going to be tried on here. Not on anything of legal statutes, on anything of policy statutes. The public opinion court is going to grind him up.
Well, and I think you're talking more about Scott Peterson. Now, this guy being the police chief, he was the one calling the shots. He had 70-something officers in that freaking hallway. I mean, we saw videos of it. He was the one that was telling them, don't go in. I want to know how many of those officers in that hallway were screaming back at him, what are you thinking? We got to get this done.
I'd love to know those details. Right now, I don't.
And I'm sure it's probably going to be years before we do, because that seems to be how these stories go.
No, it'll be a Netflix movie before too long.
You're probably not wrong. And on that note, let's pay some bills. We'll be right back. The 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company, based in Vail, Colorado, high up in the Rocky Mountains. 10th Mountain is a tribute company to the legendary 10th Mountain Division, maker of fine spirits including bourbon, rye, and vodka, as well as being a generous supporter of the shooting sports and veterans charities. Support those that support us, and to make it easier, 10th Mountain is offering our listeners a discount. Just enter Dear Shooter at checkout for 10% off. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits Company, whiskey worth fighting for. All right, so let me take this in a little bit different direction. Let's talk about the case itself. Now, I'm reading from an article here. This is from the Texas Tribune. It says that Uvalde County District Attorney Christina Mitchell convened a grand jury in January to investigate law enforcement's delayed response and to determine whether or not to bring criminal charges against the nearly 400 federal, state, and local officers involved in the response. Now, wait a minute here. 400 on one. How much of a freaking coward do you have to be?
Well, I got to tell you, if they're naming one guy in this whole situation, he's getting a railroad. It's a predetermined deal.
Agreed, but at the same time, we're talking about the police chief. You got 400 other guys that are following orders.
I think that they're trying to find the person responsible for making the policy and making people stand down. The folks that were simply following orders
then
are going
to
try
to claim
immunity.
Then you need to look at your state legislature and probably your city council.
Absolutely.
They claim
right.
immunity, but morality they cannot claim.
No, you can't claim it.
400 against one.
Agreed.
One of us might get hurt.
I'll take those odds. I mean, the Spartans put 300 up at Thermopylae.
It worked quite well for them, too.
Yeah, quite well, until they had a traitor.
True, true.
And how much extra ammo do you think this kid had on him? Seriously, did he go in with a battle belt? Well, you know,
even then, he didn't have that much ammo.
Right?
You know, a standard loadout, you know, what, 7 magazines? You're talking 210 rounds? Maybe a couple more, so let's call it 300 rounds. That ain't enough.
And that's if he didn't just go in loaded with what he had, because he was an angry child, right?
I've been in situations, guys, where I've disarmed a guy that had a gun and I didn't have one to start with. It's about getting in there and making a positive difference in the situation.
Is it a training thing? Is it a lot of officers don't know how to take a gun from somebody?
They may not train it.
Well, yeah, and let's not go down the training road just yet, because I mean, and even the article, and we're going to link to this, and it says in the months following the shooting, about a dozen officers were fired, suspended, or retired. Arredondo was fired about 3 months after the shooting. He was listed as the incident commander on the school district's active shooter response plan. Oof. So.
He's listed as the guy.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, I do lay it on his feet because he was the guy.
Well, he was the guy. Then he was let go.
Now, on...
So
on
who's the new guy?
Right, but on the flip side of that, we talk about all the time, especially the Second Amendment advocates, when we talk about the military being turned against the populace and that the military has the right to refuse an illegal order. I want to know the legalities of the orders that he was giving his officers, because
they're going to go back to policy. Was he following policy, or did he make it up as he went along because he was scared?
Right.
And I hope for his sake that he was following policy.
I don't know that it matters at that point.
Well, I'll hang it in the entire department's ass rather than just his.
Right. But I don't think it matters. I don't think policy matters at that point.
It might not.
Because and I don't have the numbers. I don't know how many kids were in that school. But when you stand in a hallway for 77 minutes and there's close to 400 of you and you're afraid to go in after one, I'm sorry. There's no excuse.
No, you go in with four, not 400.
That's all you need.
Correct. The fact that they stayed outside is absolutely liable.
And if I remember correctly, watching those videos, they had shields.
They had ballistic SWAT shields.
Yes.
Go in with one.
Right. This is not hard, people.
You're most trained, obviously. They're worried, maybe worried and about hitting some of the bystanders.
Those guys don't get paid enough. Do not get me wrong. But they're getting paid to do that day.
That's right. And you can't tell me if close to 400 officers, you didn't have some highly trained, specialized, you know, SWAT, SRT type guys.
You know you did.
Yeah.
They were all there.
And like you said, they don't get paid enough. However, neither does our military. They don't get paid squat either, but they're thrown in front of gunfire all the time.
That's right.
Yeah. No, they don't get paid enough, but that's what they were getting paid for that day.
That's right. And I don't dispute that. They don't get paid enough. You know, I think that especially our police officers, our doctors, our nurses, our teachers, our firefighters need to have politician salaries, and the politicians need to be working for police officer wages.
It is upside down. You're absolutely right.
But you're right, too. They chose that profession. They knew what the risks were. They knew what the pay was. They knew what the benefits were. They knew all this going in, and they knew this is a possibility, because you can't tell me, as long as we've been dealing with school shootings and active shooters and all this, most of these guys have been around and probably not in law enforcement since that stuff's been going on. I will bet you most of these guys were, let's call it an average of 6 years in law enforcement.
By a minimum, probably, yeah.
So it's not like this was not in their psyche and in their training.
No, they go through the academy and they're told what the job is.
Right.
They're trained very specifically to do the very baseline skills to pass the academy. They get it. There's no way that they don't understand.
No. And I don't mean to, like, I hate this topic. I really do, because I have to sit here and I have to harp on law enforcement, and I hate doing that. Because at the end of the day, I try to defend them because they do get railroaded a lot.
A lot.
But in this case, it's kind of deserved.
I've got a lot of friends that are law enforcement, and they are all shaking their head and asking the same questions we are. It's not necessarily all law enforcement. I would say that there is something systemic in the policies and the department that we're talking about that bred a mentality and a culture where this was allowed to be okay.
Right.
And that's what I think the lawsuit's really about.
I think you're right. And I mean, I've tried to look at this every which way from Sunday, and it's, you know, I keep coming back to, well, you know, was it just the absolute shock that, holy crap, this is actually happening, and now we have to figure out that our policy sucks?
In every traumatic event, the human psyche goes through exactly that evolution. Whether it's you as an individual in your home or a cop on scene. Is this really happening? Am I going to have to get out of my car and go do this today?
Right.
That evolution happens at every single one of those circumstances. Do I have to get out of bed and grab that pistol? Jesus, is this really happening to me? Because we all think it won't happen to me.
Well, yeah.
Right? These guys are trained to not only think it will happen to them, but be able to react in a minimal time.
Right.
So, no, this is one of those things where there's a culture of something in this specific department that made this a problem.
And that's scary, because how many other departments are just like this?
A lot.
That just have not seen this level of incident.
And why? Maybe that's why things are getting blackballed. You know, the cops are getting blackballed because something like this happens. We all hear about it. how many people here in our small little town in a different state are going up, would you do that? Would you make my kid die?
Oh, we're armchair quarterbacking this all the way.
They're already yelling at law enforcement that wasn't involved. So it's stories like this that get them, but they were caused by one of them.
Right.
So it's hard.
Well, caused by one. You've got the, you know, they're indicting the guy that was giving the orders. I get that. But I go back to, I'm sorry, I'm going to disobey that order.
And you should.
I cannot in good conscience stand out in a hallway for over an hour listening to kids die.
Yeah,
I can't do it.
Lose your career, be damned. Those are children in there.
And Remington got it right. You've just been knocked down.
Yeah.
The choice to get up is up to you.
That's right. And I think this is going to set a precedent. If this goes through and this guy is actually convicted, then I think what this is going to do is set a precedent of looking at actual liability.
It'll be open season.
Oh, it's going to be horrible. But what scares me is, you know, they're already passing laws and we're already able, let's sue gun manufacturers because of the misuse of their products. Which, how the hell does that happen?
It's a very political, complex thing that can be boiled down to something very, very simple. They need the case law to pursue other bullshit cases.
Right. And, you know, this whole Uvalde thing, you brought this back up, and it reminded me, I would strongly suggest, if you want to stay awake for a few nights because you can't sleep, there's a book by William Fortune. It's called Day of Wrath.
Oh, God.
It's a novella. It was written 12 years ago or so. And it describes a terrorist event. And it will keep you up at night because through reading this, and this is what I kind of base my predictions on. America is ripe for an October 7th style attack. Read that book. Because it describes an attack for which there is no defense.
Well, and a school attack is very similar in its methodology and mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely similar.
Well, and part of that book, there was a school attack, but it was in addition to other things, and it's terrifying.
So do we think out of this case, do you think this is going to get convicted? And if it does, is it going to change police, like law enforcement, policies and rules, and then how many are going to fall out because now they have to get out of their car and get shot at?
Either way it goes, it changes law enforcement in this country forever. That's my say.
I'm thinking there's not going to be a conviction. I think the indictment is enough to raise a lot of questions. But you're absolutely right. Law enforcement will never be the same. The problem with that is that law enforcement budgets are getting slashed nationwide, and the we all know that the first thing to go when law enforcement budgets get slashed is training. And the only thing that fixes this is more training, better policy, and better execution.
No,
I left him speechless.
You totally caught me on a drink of bourbon, but you're absolutely right. I don't know that there will be a conviction. There will be a governmental immunity part of this defense. But if they go after him on a personal level for violating his moral obligation, he's hosed.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
In a civil suit, he's done.
Agreed.
Because they're going to argue with the pictures of dead kids.
So you say that he's not going to get convicted. So it is going to be a Scott Peterson rerun.
I think it will be. Simply because the defense is going to come up with the qualified immunity defense, and that is something that's been in place for decades, and that you know, that's Supreme Court precedent. That's pretty hard to beat. Now, I'm with you. I still think that they are going to leave him open to civil liability. Now the question is, will the community of Uvalde, will that municipality stand behind him in that? Will they be named?
No, they're going to hang him.
I don't know. I think if you take him on civilly, every law enforcement officer that was there should be taken on civilly as well.
The problem with that, they can only sue who's named, right? And from a civil side, they can go after him, and they will. It'll have teeth. It'll be ugly. I think the governmental immunity side of this is going to get the municipality out of the hot water. And that'll give some level of protection for the folks that are still serving in that community. But on the civil side, this guy's hosed.
And what do you think happens with, because they, obviously, because they said that he was part of the, you know, school active shooter policy. I mean, you know they're going to be making some changes to that.
It'll be rewritten. It'll be a complete overhaul.
I would hope so, because, I mean, this is craziness.
Well, you can't afford it to happen again and have the same result. You just can't afford it.
No.
There's not a mayor or a county commissioner or a state legislator that can afford that to happen on their watch.
No. But I think at the end of the day, like, forget policy, forget civil liability, forget all of those things. I think at the end of the day, this comes back to moral and backbone. Which is, I think this is a prime example of we have lost it in our society.
This guy has.
Well, I think it's a lot more widespread than we'd like to believe.
Those who defend him know that they've lost it as well.
They might, but, you know, there's people still defending Biden.
Are you going to step up and defend this guy?
No. Well, I'm not. Why would I defend a coward?
There you go. Those that defend him have lost theirs as well.
They have lost it, but they don't know it. And that's the problem. At the end of the day, the morals in this country are gone.
And they're not gone. They're just in the rural America.
Well, yeah, you're exactly right. And that's where I was going with this is we've talked about this before, and maybe we've said it here. I can't remember, but I know we've had this discussion that the Second Amendment community is a better community. It is the community that runs with the blood of the founders. We have a moral compass. We have some intestinal fortitude to do what a lot of people won't. Now, to be fair, and this is Dear Shooter, and we make fun of people all the time, you've got all of these internet trolls that live in mom's basement that talk big online that are probably just like this, you know, they're just like this Pete Arredondo. And they've been operating out of their mom's basement for a little too long. It's easy to talk tough when you're anonymous.
Oh, absolutely right. I'm a Gen X.
Well, yeah, but
we didn't grow up with the technology bullshit. And somebody was talking shit, you caught them either after school or in the park or wherever. And if they continued to talk shit, you smacked them in the mouth.
Right. But I think the Second Amendment community, and especially those that are in public, and then I know most of the, well, not most, but everyone that we know and deal with in this community, they're salt of the earth, top-notch people.
Agreed.
And I would not hesitate to have any one of them watch my back.
In a heartbeat. But back to my anecdote for a second, though. We punched you in the mouth in our day.
Yeah.
Because that's where the bullshit was coming from.
We still do that.
I didn't punch you in the gut. I didn't hit you in the leg. I punched you in the mouth.
Well, that depends if you can reach the mouth.
Ooh. I can jump.
White man can't jump.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
But I think we, as a society, we've lost it. Our culture still has it. And I think that's why our culture, the Second Amendment culture, is so under attack. Because we go against everything that the rest of society is trying to get rid of.
The go along to get along has a limit.
Right.
And as a society, I don't know that we've lost it, but it has definitely shrunk back to the Second Amendment societies, the rural Americas, where integrity matters.
Right.
And let's remember, this guy's got to look his neighbors in the eye. I don't know how he stays there and does that. Be honest with you.
I'll bet he doesn't. I bet he's gone. Long gone.
Be interesting. Witness protection. To know, because how do you stay there knowing you did that to your neighbor?
I don't know. And we discussed this a few weeks ago. We talked about the wolf torture thing in Daniel, Wyoming, right?
Yeah.
Now, Brandy and I just recently took a trip through there. Like, we drove by. The bar is still open.
Well, and it's Daniel.
Yeah, well, you know, it's full of tourist plates because they're all wanting to see where it happened.
Right.
But I know from people that live in that area, they have run that guy out. Nobody knows where he's at. He is in hiding.
And rightly so.
Agreed.
Seek life elsewhere.
So I'm assuming that Arredondo is the same way. He is in hiding somewhere.
Can't go too far. He's under indictment.
Well, yeah, he can't go too far, but he ain't living in Uvalde.
Oh, I would bet not.
Well, even then, anywhere, because national news, his photo's freaking everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to be anywhere, like leave the country, maybe?
Can't do that if you're under indictment.
Can't do that.
See,
but
back when we had, like, paper dictionaries, his face would have been republished in the next year's dictionary next to Coward. See, we've lost a little bit of the art form of it all by going to digital world.
Mm. Well, not really. Wikipedia could change Coward annually by who won
and
that
I think
year.
They should. I would actually start, you know, supporting them more if.
I still say, you know, and we're working on the website, and hopefully we should have that up here soon. I know it's a little slower than what we had hoped, but we're trying to get it right. And I think there needs to be a page devoted to Darwin Awards from Yellowstone.
See, I give that some thought. I thought we ought to come up with a Negligent Discharge Award.
Ooh, there you go. I'm in.
Well, you know, Darwin has his thing, and I get that one. And it's kind of sacred. We should leave that alone, in my opinion. We should have our own.
Yes.
Okay. Just thought I'd say.
All right. I'm good with that. The ND Award. And if you're a police officer, you're automatically run to the head of the line. Because how many of those have we seen?
Anybody's eligible for an ND award.
I agree, but I'm sorry. If you are law enforcement because you are considered by society to be an expert with a firearm, you go to the head of the line.
I would agree with that.
As y'all look at me, because I'm the one making the pages, and I am not a web designer by any means. If I have to put one more page in there, I'm going to shoot y'all in the face.
You're doing fantastic, and you're learning at an exponential rate. So, you know what? You do you.
I think she's just looking for an excuse to wash my mouth out of a buckshot.
Maybe.
Just your mouth?
Start there. It gets messy, though.
Do it outside.
I swear to God, if I wake up and I walk in the living room and there's plastic on the floor, I'm leaving.
Just go back to bed. Yeah. If you're hugging onto that pit bull, you'll be safe.
Right? Some days. I'll get the cat. I can hear her now. You think that level 4 is going to save your ass? Nope. She shoots low.
Can't tourniquet the tape.
No, yeah, and she shoots low.
I might tourniquet just to see.
I don't think the right thing's going to turn purple.
All right, I'm... Okay, so just to finish up, and let's go out on something a little fun. We did a class over the weekend. You held an extreme long-range class.
I did.
And you had a student connect at 3,200 yards.
Well, let me say this out loud. We had a target at 3,200 yards. We had a shooter that shot at this target. And I painted the target the day before, nice, fresh, and clean.
There were marks on fresh paint.
There were marks on fresh paint. Now, it is so freaking far away, even with a forward observer, I can't tell you if that is rock splatter up on that or if that's a projectile hit on that, but there's new marks on paint, so we gave him credit.
No, I, being that forward observer, and I was probably 300 yards from the target. We were in just full disclosure, we were behind a mountain. We were totally safe from anything incoming. We were watching for splash. We were watching for splatter because there was no way Because I did the math on it. You were shooting a 300 PRC, and by the time it got to the target, it was going 910 feet per second.
Yeah.
It was a tumbling mess. You called me the freaking angry bumblebee.
It was definitely that.
So my guess is, and seeing what I saw forward, I think he hit it.
Okay.
Because we did see a dust pattern that looked like a hit, but it was so minuscule, it was hard to say definitively.
Right. That's a long ways away.
Oh, my God. I mean, you were 7.5 second flight time.
Yes.
And normally, because we know this from working the pits, we're doing F-class shooting, like when that bullet goes over your head, it's a snap. It is a loud crack because the thing's going supersonic.
Correct.
That was not the case where we were at. It was just kind of it was just kind of a whoosh over our heads, and I remember looking at Chris and going, "Yeah, that thing's not going supersonic."
No,
and I remember even there was a couple of shots that went over us, and you could almost you knew it was tumbling just because of the sound. It was almost a buzz going over our head.
Yep.
So you knew that round was tumbling.
162 story building.
Huh?
Is the elevation that he put that thing up and over.
Isn't that the same elevation we used to hit the white buffalo with the 9mm pistol?
It might be really close. Yeah. I mean, there's only so much terminal velocity you can capitalize on.
I thought you guys were, you know, doing the math for re-entry.
We were. And we had to call a guy at NASA.
You guys are on the phone with NORAD going, "Hey, can you guys track this?"
Some dude in Huntsville, Alabama, going, "I think that's about right."
No, and then we all went out Sunday and actually shot for ourselves in preparation for the Africa hunt coming up, and we all realized that we suck.
Oof, I need some practice.
Well, but my point is, like, I was watching you shoot, and you kept hitting low, and you kept hitting low, and I looked at you, and with one adjustment. And it was just get slower on the trigger. It
proper,
fixed everything,
yep,
right?
Proper finger on the shoe.
And Brandy looked at me and she was like, "That was it?" And so my point here, I do have one, is this is why you should seek instruction. Even if you have been doing this forever and ever and ever,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Like, let's fix your bad habits.
Because I've been doing this forever and ever. And it's a perishable skill, and evidently I let a bad habit creep back in.
Well, and that's just it. You've probably been doing that for the last year, which means you have a bunch of reps practicing something that's wrong.
You're not wrong. That's exactly what happened.
But that's just, like, go seek out instruction. I mean, I'm on...
Just some dude to watch you that might be able to pick out what's going on.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't have to be, like, the top-notch instructor, but if you can afford that guy, get him.
Well, definitely. I wouldn't go get Joe, your neighbor.
Not you.
No, not me.
No, there's some dude in like Rock Springs that I guess is doing some really good work.
I'd have him watch me. He knows.
You'd let him watch you?
He knows enough.
Well, he'd talk mad shit while he was watching you.
Oh, he would, but you know what? He knows enough about what he's doing that he could fix me.
All right. 307 defense, y'all. Give Trinity some love.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah, I mean, find that guy, because you may be doing something absolutely stupid and not even realize it. Because and you and I were playing at 800,000 yards,
right?
Most people don't go play that game, and we were doing this with hunting rifles.
I just use it to confirm my data,
right?
Make sure that whatever I have is my kill sheet, my
right.
data sheet that I'm going to take on a hunt that I'm paying for,
right?
That stuff's right.
Well, and that's just it. You understand, but you also understand that a 16th of an inch mistake at the muzzle translates to 30, 40 inches.
It's a fucking Winnebago miss at 1,000.
Right. And that's what you're trying to determine, because that's where you really, you know, you can sit there and you can shoot one whole groups at 100 yards all day long because there's margin of error there. You don't get that margin of error at a grant.
I will tell you, I've actually perished enough in my skills to where 100 yards is telling me a lot of stuff right now.
get your finger down on the shoe, damn it. I told you that.
Yep, yep. Yes, sir.
So, all right. So we're getting down to it. And sorry, guys. This was heavy. This one was kind of crazy.
It's thanks kids, and it makes me angry. So sorry about that.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Brandy.
You're welcome.
She knows this about
me,
too.
I almost kept you busy for 45 minutes. You only went crazy for the last, like, 10 or so.
Well, we had to end on something fun. I mean, we try to have fun on this podcast. I mean, yes, we talk about politics, and we talk about crazy stuff, and we talk about heavy things. But the problem is it just pisses me off. You guys don't want to hear me rant for 45 minutes.
No, that's never fun.
So end on something fun. Get that guy that knows something and take him out shooting for half a day. You know, even if you pay him a six-pack of beer, maybe a case, depending on how, you know. Might cost you a bottle of whiskey, but I guarantee you it'll be worth it because you'll come out of it a better shooter. You'll fix your shit. And then you guys can stop blaming your gun.